Illinois State University says it will now move most of its classes online for the fall semester. Provost Andover Tarhule says the previous breakdown worked out to about half online, a quarter in person, and a quarter hybrid mix of online and in person. Now he estimates it will be about 80% online. Only clinics, labs, music performance courses, and classes that require in-person instruction for accreditation will remain in the classroom. Tarhule says the administration had finished its space needs survey for socially distanced instruction in the classroom. It made all the pieces fit and was feeling a little jubilant. And then, Tarhule says, a couple of things changed.
Well, the growing number of cases of infections has been an issue of concern that we've been monitoring. Also, our ability to do testing. Testing has always been a very difficult issue for us. And towards the end of last week, we learned that our ability to do the test to the scale that we would have liked to do is significantly curtailed. So what we're trying to do is to further densify the campus so that we have students, the number of students on campus, we have a degree of confidence that we'll be able to test and track and monitor infections and also just to reduce the overall number of infections.
As you wrote in your letter to the campus, the federal government repurposed or took 5,000 tests that ISU had ordered.
Reagents. There were three equipments and 5,000 reagents, yes.
Do you know when you would get replacements for those?
We don't know. At least I don't know at this time.
You mentioned that that impacts campus safety. Unpack that. How does it impact campus safety and containment plans?
Yes. Well, if you have a very large number of students. Right now, we have a certain number of rooms set aside that we'll be using for quarantine and also isolation. So the more students you have on campus, the more the likelihood that you are going to use up those rooms as quickly as possible. If you were testing, there are two types of tests, right? You could do surveillance testing or you could do mass testing. The fewer the students you have on campus, the less the likelihood of infections and the greater your ability to track those students. And if we are not able to do testing and we have a large or not do testing to the degree that we would like to, and we have a large number of students on campus, our feeling is that the likelihood that some students could go undetected, the likelihood that the infection rates would be higher increases. And our effort is to try to minimize or to mitigate those anticipated occurrences.
You've indicated there will be random testing of non-symptomatic students.
Yes.
How much would you like to do, and what do you think you'll be able to do given current resources?
We would like to do about 3%. Which is about where a lot of institutions are looking at as well.
And how much can you do?
Well, for now, that's the planning. That's we are planning on, we think that we'll be able to do the 3%. And in general, in fact, I think as you may know, total mass testing of all students is actually not recommended. First of all, you tie up a lot of resources, personal people and financial resources, and use up a lot of reagents for a large number of people who are negative. And there is a certain amount of false positive rates, but once you identify people, you also have to track all of those people who they may have had close contact with and also test or isolate them, which means you could be quarantining people, a large number of people, just as a result of false positives. So you're going to be using up your space a lot. This is why a lot of recommendations, including the CDC, is actually to do the surveillance testing and keep track of your positivity rate. And so if that's going above a certain threshold, then it can trigger actions like closing the institution. But that seems to be as good and as robust and in many ways preferable than trying to actually test everybody.
But the University of Illinois is doing much broader testing. And they're, of course, they're a much bigger campus, too.
Yes.
But they're also requiring a contact tracing app.
that would log where people are in relationship to each other and then trigger an alert if there is a subsequent positive test. Is that something that ISU was looking at?
No. We actually had a meeting of the Provost of Public Universities today, so University of Illinois talked a little bit about this app. What it sounded to me like was they're trying to keep track of, basically they're requiring the students to test, and this app would allow them to know who has tested or who has not. University of Illinois is in a different position. You know, they are actually developing their own test. They have submitted that test for approval to the FDA. I think they did that this past Monday. If you say saliva, it's much cheaper and they can get results back so much faster. President Deeds and the presidents of the other public universities have worked with their presidents to say, and also the IBHE, they have reached an agreement in principle that if that test is approved, then all of the public universities in Illinois would also use it. But right now, it hasn't been approved, but we're hoping eventually that will be approved and we will use it as well.
Yeah, President Dietz had earlier indicated the cost difference between existing testing is of $100 a pop to the U of I's hoped for testing of $2 a pop.
Correct.
If the U of I's program is a go, what level of testing would you like to be able to do?
I don't know that I have that answer personally. I don't know. Okay. I don't know that maybe the president and the EOC steering committee or the cabinet as a whole would then make that decision at that point. But I don't know enough at this point to answer that question with confidence.
ISU has extended the deadline for cancellation of meal contracts to August 18th. What do you say to students whose remaining in-person classes will now go online but who've signed leases? What do you tell them?
That's a very difficult one. And it's not a decision that we took lightly. But it's one that we balance against the risk of not being able to get a handle on the infection rate on campus if we returned at the numbers that we were working on before. Quite frankly, I don't know what the right answer is, but it's not something that we are unaware of or it's something that we have neglected. It's something that basically we've had to balance against the risk that we thought the campus as a whole would face if we had students back at the numbers that we were working on previously. And the other thing you have to keep in mind is that a lot of these students, these leases were signed back in the fall, way before anybody started talking about the COVID. So it's not as if with COVID we're trying to ignore the students. I mean, these issues came up and then COVID is a pandemic. It came up as a crisis long after the students had signed the lease. So you're almost taking an action that had happened and trying to make that make a decision in the context of other actions or decisions that we are taking prior. I don't know if that makes sense. So the short answer to your question is it's not a good solution, and I don't have a great answer for them. But on balance, we feel that for the community as a whole, this is a better decision.
Everyone is under stress. Everyone is aware of that, acknowledges it. But what can you say to offer some comfort to students and faculty who are stressed?
I think I would say look to the community spirit. I've been extremely impressed by the overall sense of community and investment and the sense of shared purpose and unity of purpose. That's been abundantly in display, and I could give you example after example. When I talk to faculty, one of the things I say is we need to, I would almost paraphrase John Kennedy when he said, you know, ask not what a country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. And, you know, increasingly we are seeing people step up and say, well, offering very creative, very innovative kinds of ideas. And so that gives me a great deal of optimism. and hope that by tapping into the collective intellectual brain trust of the university, which comprises a significant number of very smart people, we're going to get to the end of this. And so it looks very dark right now, but we have very smart people working on it. They're making very thoughtful, very deliberate, very intentional decisions. And I feel very good about the where we are with respect to the decisions that we have made. So I think there's a reason for optimism, and there's a lot of reason for hope that within the constraints and the boundaries of what we have to deal with, we're making the decisions that make the best sense for the community as a whole.
Illinois State University Vice President for Academic Affairs and Provost Andor Tarhule. Tarhule says they are trying to make decisions on the basis of the best science and public health recommendations.